Good morning. Now this PA system is on. So it's just past 9:30 here in Sevilla at ApacheCon. So this is a new session with Shane and Brandon, which is going to be pretty small because apparently everybody had a lot of fun last night in Sevilla. So, well, I don't see anybody out in the hall for the free snack, so I think people are sleeping in tonight. So I'm trying to think of, so why don't we vote? Should I actually kind of go through the slides really quickly and then we can talk about stuff? Or do you just want to ask questions and we can? Okay. I do need to stand up then. So good morning. My name is Shane Kirkrew and I serve, well, today we're going to talk about improving your projects, Apache projects, image and brand. So the how we can do a better job of attracting new people to our project, because that's what we all want, is people to be excited about our stuff and people to contribute to our projects. We need to help them a little bit. My name is Shane Kirkrew. I've been around at Apache since 1999, which is when the foundation was incorporated, actually. A member since 2002 in terms of working on governance at Apache, and currently a director, as well as the vice president of brand management. So I think about branding, how we can showcase ourselves better, as well as trademarks, which are the legal side of that. I'm not a lawyer. In fact, I'm not your lawyer. I'm not a lawyer at all. However, I do play one on the internet, so I know enough about trademarks to help. So let's talk today about how we can keep your project going forward while still following the Apache way. So it's important for the Apache brand, as well as we believe all project brands, to be independent and to help show to the world how we act, and as well show to the world, this is an important one, what our project does. So there are a lot of, there's lots of great code you're excited about, but if we don't explain it to other people, it's hard to engage them. And then we're gonna go really quickly through some trademark concepts and some of the details, which I'll also cover later in a separate talk. So how managing independence and curating project health. I like the idea of curating project health. We work on our code and we fix our bugs, but how often do you step back and think about your project as a whole? Like as a whole community, as a whole organization, trying to excite the world about what it is you're doing. Not just the code, but what you're trying to do. key point, which is hard to explain but really important, Apache projects are governed independently. So I'll post these slides tomorrow. Throughout, I have a lot of links to the existing documentation that we have on our website with more details, with the specifics of how to use trademarks, things like that. And here I wrote sort of an essay in terms of what it means to be an Apache project. Every project at the ASF is called Apache Lucene, Apache Hadoop, Apache Groovy. And that's important both for your project as well as for the foundation. Because the world now understands from Apache's history what to expect from an Apache project. The technology is different, that's fine. But how the project will act, the world has an expectation. And that's a value to us because it attracts a lot of people. So it's really important to make sure that your project acts independently, that you welcome any new contributors. And that may seem obvious, but we've had problems in the past where some people at some companies, where companies try to dominate a project, which is not okay. We need to make sure that we are welcoming to everyone. Similarly, we need to make sure that every Apache project is valuable on its own. So a lot of companies who donate projects, and they have a rich ecosystem of their commercial offering, but the ASF is a public charity, which I know a lot of people don't think about in their day-to-day life. I do, because I'm thinking about governance for all projects. The point of Apache is to give away software that helps people. So everything about a project, if somebody doesn't have the budget, if they're a nonprofit, if they're an individual, they should be able to come to your Apache project, find all the information, and get a software product that works and does something useful for them completely from Apache. Now, it's great if vendors have training or if vendors offer support or things like that for pay. That's a great add-on, but the basics have to come from just the Apache project. So we have a kind of small crowd today. So if we have questions or if we want to have a discussion, let me know, right? So I'll speak up. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking on and talking on and talking on and talking on. So be inclusive is one of the big messages. We all like it when other people are excited about our work. And the way we do that is by actively including other people, both from companies, obviously from companies, some engineers, individuals, college students, Google Summer Code. An inclusive community helps other people who are users feel comfortable stepping up and saying, hey, maybe I could help, because they feel like they'll be listened to by your project. The problem with some corporate projects, let's say, is that people perceive the corporation as essentially running it. And that's fine in a certain marketplace. It's not fine at Apache. So there are some steps here. We need to work on a better guide with the community development project of specific steps how to do this. So have low-hanging bugs, right? Specifically, don't just fix that really, really simple bug right away. Put it in the system, mark it with some tag, use the help wanted system at Apache, and let it wait a week. See if somebody else comes along and looks at it. Encourage positive contributions, so mentoring, making sure that your discussions are following the code of conduct, because it's much easier for people to participate if they feel they'll get a friendly welcome. And anytime that you can, with your Apache hat, show how your project actually solves a problem. So we have great code. We love that we've configured X. Users to start with don't care about that. Users to start with have a problem. If we can say, this great functionality will solve these problems, and here's how I did one thing. Case studies, now that's a big marketing thing, right? But really simple, personal, hey, here's how I fixed our website by adding Apache Wicket and Apache Groovy to do this thing. Those are great ways to bring people in and get new people excited. Public perception. This, I don't think we need to go over this too much, but there are other audiences that this is a really important slide. So projects, Apache projects, that are perceived in the world to be associated with a single company or single vendor tend to attract fewer contributors who are not from that vendor. Any employees from another vendor aren't going to bother participating because they're like, why would we help their bottom line? We'll do our own thing. Unfortunately, this is a self-perpetuating cycle. So once that starts, then more people hear about that and then they'll use the product, but they won't consider contributing because they won't feel like they have a voice. This is why Apache as a foundation is important, because we ensure that all our projects will welcome anybody who has valuable contributions, immaterial of where they're coming from. And if the contribution doesn't work for your project, that's okay, but say so. Hey, you know, it fails our tests. That actually slows down our next release. Well, we need to do it later. That's fine, as long as you engage and accept that. Yes, questions?
With the Apache license, It's quite open. So if you've got, like you're talking about, this single company projects that perceived to be associated, I mean, do they have to say powered by? Do they have to say this is a derivative of Apache Foo or built on Apache Foo? Or can they leave that out? Because sometimes people may see something that looks really, really cool and they don't realize it's actually built on Apache or it's associated with Apache.
So kind of your question is, this is more for branding, which I'm going to do in another talk later this afternoon. No, but it's a very good question. When vendors go produce some great software built clearly on top of one of our pieces of software, and they add fancy administration or support or consulting, whatever, how can they brand their offering? And the requirement is that they have their own brand for their offering. If they wish, they may include the Apache Project brand in a specific way within their either their main branding, like on the head of their page, or elsewhere where they talk about, hey, this is a great product, blah, 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 and it's built on top of Apache Calcite, and we got lots of great features from there. We don't require that, and we never will, in terms of it's up to the company to choose if they don't talk about us at all, or if they talk about us as their product is powered by our product.
So then can the Apache community say, hey, you know, company XYZ is built on Apache Foo, even though on their site it's not labeled?
Yeah, so if our communities want to let the world know on their own website, hey, here are some companies that use our software. Here's, you know, so-and-so, which you've all heard about, started from this, and then they've added great features. That's fine. We need to be careful that we don't market or try and drive commercial things.
Yeah.
But that is an important point of it would be nice if companies would give us more credit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I was just thinking, like, so if the company doesn't say, hey, this was built on Apache Foo, but the Apache Foo project says, hey, actually, these sites are built on our software. So therefore, hey, this is a link, these are some of the examples. So that's the sort of, you know, hey,
yes. The
real world stories are a bit, really.
Yes, real world stories. So that's, you know, we never want to compete.
No.
But certainly that's a great thing for a project to say, you know, hey, here are the real world stories. We've noticed that so-and-so is using our stuff to build something great. And, you know, I integrated Apache Calcite with this, and here's how I did it. Those things are perfectly fine, and it's, you know, it's nice to show those in factual ways that are helpful to newcomers. So we're talking about how the world sees your project. So the problem often is we're so expert in what we do, and we've written the website, we already kind of know it. Even when you look back at your own project website, you're like, yeah, that looks good, okay, well, here's a typo. But are you looking at it from a newcomer's perspective? And that takes effort. Consider what your project is saying to the world separately. So healthy projects need new contributors. I think this is all pretty obvious. We love it when people are excited about what we do. And of course, we love it when then they submit new work to us. That's the point of open source. So we need to have different ways to think about your project. And some projects do this great, like OFBiz thinks about this because they have a project that is in that space. But there are some other projects, like CouchDB, where they have a weekly newsletter and they explain things about their project. They're excited about use cases. That's great. A lot of projects don't, and it takes a little effort to see if somebody new is coming to my website, pretend you don't know anything about it, just actually read your website. Don't have your eyes scan. So your website, which is the only way people know about you to start with, should explain, what does your project do? There are a lot of projects who never say what language they're in, ever, until you're down in the documentation. What technologies it uses, not just the key thing, but hey, we use OSGI to then load all these modules that do X. How do you describe that? So a lot of big data projects describe themselves in great detail, which I'm sure is very useful for somebody who is an expert data scientist. For me, it's just a wall of words. So some of your description needs to apply to the average software developer. And how does your community, which is the people, all the people in your project, and the people who are on the development list, or user list, but may not be committers yet. They're part of the community. How do they actually interact with people? When somebody else asks a question, do you answer it? When somebody posts a blog post that has something wrong, do you make a gentle correction? So an example is, what does your project do? So Apache X implements the Overdrive Oscillation RFC 2549. That's great, but what does it actually mean? So a better way to say this might be, Apache X software can power your interdimensional oscillating transport into the eighth dimension, following the RFC 2549 standard with birdseed quality of service. So that would be enough so that somebody who doesn't already know what RFC 2549 means say, oh, okay, maybe I don't need quality service and I'm not doing transport, I'm really doing database, so this is not interesting. Or it is interesting because I do messaging and I have quality of service, but maybe they do it differently. There's so many projects that, you know, half an hour of thought by three of your committers to rewrite this, even if you don't get it right, as long as it's a different way to say it, is a huge help for newcomers. By the way, everybody can look up RFC 2549. That's IP protocol, internet traffic over a carrier pigeon. A real RFC. And there are actually two. They've upgraded. There was the original, and there's a new one with quality of service. So, so how does your project describe itself? We've talked about this some. Description of problems you solve for users. Now that, in commercial companies, that comes from the marketing department, but so it's harder for us to do that. But even a few simple things of, hey, this will speed up your messaging because we have more efficient code, blah, blah, blah. Make sure your website, you know, looks like it's from the 2010s, not the 2000s, or you know, even the 1990s, like we have a few. I want to work with community development on a sort of guide. We have some requirements for how trademarks have to be presented in your project. Those are requirements. Apache has very few requirements, but we have a lot of best practices. One best practice should be obvious links you really should have. As far as I'm concerned, every project should have each of these links. So download, obviously. How to use it. There are a lot of projects are like, oh, here's the thing, it does this implementation, and you know, here's the docs. Like, okay, where do I start? How do I install? How do I configure? How to report issues. You want people to come back to you and ask questions or post problems. It needs to be really easy for them to start. How to contribute. So when they post an issue, it'd be nice if they have a properly formatted patch. Or if they have a new feature idea, you really want to guide them step by step, really, really friendly. Because that's I don't know if it's huge, but it's certainly a factor in how many people actually will follow those steps. How to contact us. Not everybody's familiar with mailing lists, so making that friendly is really, really good. And example programs. So, okay, yes, you've told me how to use it, but this is pretty complicated software. Is there actually a Hello World that does, you know, distributed Hello World on 20 systems? As an example, actually seeing the API calls in the right order really helps. So think about how on the front page, you at least have links to all the common ways that somebody might want to use your product. How does your project interact with people? So just to state the obvious, attracting new contributors to your project means welcoming them. So when people have questions, are they answered? Or at least acknowledged? Even if you don't have the answer, say, hey, that's a great question. It sounds complicated, why don't you write a JIRA? Or, yes, we're all at a conference this week, we'll get back to you next week. Really helps users. Are issues responded to? Again, we don't have to fix it. But you can say, hey, that sounds like a bug. Do you have a patch? Or, you know, do you have some more test data? And when somebody does give you a contribution, make sure that is a key place where we need to make sure we at least acknowledge it quickly. And then also that we actually review it. Even if it's not going to go into the product right away, you know, they've done the work and they just want the recognition of, yes, that looks good, but our roadmap says it's not going to go in until next month. But some projects do this great all the time, and a lot of projects have old bugs from those contributors see that you're ignoring them, and then they will go someplace else. Social media and engagement. So actually, I added this from looking at the CouchDB site. Do you have a Twitter stream? Do you ever use a blog system that's featured on your homepage? Now remember, I don't know about your project. So I see your homepage, and I might have heard your Twitter stream. But otherwise, I have no entry point into what your project does until I get to one of those places. A newsletter is another really good one. That obviously only captures people who have heard about your project. But CouchDB and a few projects have a weekly newsletter where they you know, have a bunch of links to issues fixed and so on. But there's just a tiny bit of like, hey, we fixed these bugs and now the file transport will work better. Just enough explanation that somebody will say, oh, I remember I was going to look at this, but their file transport wasn't right. Maybe I'll look at it now. And the good one is, do you respond if somebody tweets or blogs at you? I mean, that's not something we can control, but that's another great way. People really appreciate it when you respond when they ask a question, whether it's on Twitter or someplace else, or you know, if everybody on your list is talking about this blog post about a benchmark that they did about your project and somebody else, hey, go comment on the blog. You know, in a friendly way, obviously, but. So I was gonna say, if we had a bigger crowd, let's brainstorm ways that you think your project could do something better. So does everybody have, on the top of your head, anybody have a, yeah, I would love to do X for my project? Or, Shane, we do Y, and it's great, and you completely forgot it.
We're looking at updating our website, because our website was there from, I don't know, where are we now? Probably early, when did we update it? Sort of 2000 and something, 2010-ish, I think. And since then, we've got a new logo. So ideally, we wanted to update the website with the new logo. So looking through your list of obvious things to have, I think there was some that we'd maybe missed off. So I think that's really good. We're looking at sort of, we've got an initial draft of what the new website looks like. And I just want to make sure that it flows better, because I think the old website had too much information, too much technical stuff, and it was really difficult for people to sort of pull out key information. So yes. Your advice about trying to make it simple and trying to think about the different people that are going to come into the site and try and...
Okay. Yeah, so OFBiz has a new logo and are talking about sort of redesigning the site both to fit the logo as well as to what's the cognitive path that a newcomer or even somebody experienced in your industry, but maybe not with your project, can get to the part of your website that's important for them. Some projects are pretty simple. It's a tool that, you know, does one function. But a lot of our projects are frameworks or larger pieces. And OFBiz or Wicked or any of the Java frameworks, people are coming to your project from a million different places. So if you can have a way that a content author would know where to go, versus a website administrator who's running the base would know where to go, versus the database or pipeline person who's like, I manage 5 websites that all use a central data set. I need to stream the data. Where's that API? Anyways, you can tell some of those stories. Even a couple of them is a good indicator for people that, hey, this project cares, right? Rather than just only saying, you know, what we do and using terminology that's for them. Good logos and at least the homepage looking nice and consistent, that is an indicator for a lot of people of, you know, if they're driving by, or even if they're, you know, experienced in the area, whether or not they are going to use your project or whether they're going to contribute and stick around. I'm actually going to skip. I have a section here called Trademark Concepts in 30 Seconds. Which is also where we look around the room to see if there are any lawyers, because when I say trademarks in 30 seconds, the lawyers all twitch. You can tell, but there are no lawyers here. But I actually have a complete talk about trademark law later on, so we're actually gonna kind of skip this. The only key thing is trademarks are the legal instantiation of your brand. So we think about lots of different things, the name of OFBiz and the logo and the website and how it looks. Those are all great things we can improve, but the trademark is something that we can legally defend for when commercial companies come along and sort of usurp our thing, or commercial companies come and then don't give us any credit. They take all of our work and never talk about us, and perhaps use our brand and our goodwill for their purposes. Trademarks are a way we can protect our independence and make sure that you get the credit you deserve for all the work you've done in Apache. So the only part we'll talk about here are the trademark is the name, OFBiz itself. It's the logo. And in terms of the legal aspects, those two things are important to show consistently on your website. Everything else is part of the brand, which is useful, but there really aren't legal protections at our level for how that works. So I was just talking about, I'm actually going to skip this section about the legal aspects of trademarks, because we'll be talking about this in the next session. So, welcome. Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a great night last night, because people have been sleeping in a little bit today. So another way to think about how your project can improve its image is also thinking about what PMCs are responsible for. So in the long term, we all understand PMCs manage their project independently, vote on releases, and add new contributors. But what else are PMCs responsible for? So you need to be responsible for your brand, which is how your project presents itself and uses trademarks. So be consistent. Don't call it OFBiz here and OFBiz software there and something different somewhere else. You know they're all the same thing, but I don't know they're all the same thing. Be aware of how your brand is used out in the marketplace, because how people are using it, both it's interesting to see, hey, maybe they want to contribute, but it's also important to see, hey, they're claiming credit for our stuff. We need to address that. And of course, be respectful of other brands and the Apache brand. So you all share the Apache brand that the membership, people like me, have built over the past 20 years. We need to respect that as well as your project's brand. And I have a lot of links. I'll post the slides tomorrow, and I have a lot of links to specific details about all these slides. So being consistent, your use of your Apache Foo brand, and I really need to change that to be Apache Lucene or a real example. I'll just pick OFBiz, that'd be good. The way you present the name and logo of your project is the reference implementation. You define that, and what colors you use and how you structure it, it doesn't matter, as long as you're kind of consistent, because it can be important in terms of legal trademarks, and it's also important, it looks better if you're consistent, right? People will respect you more. For the trademark side, and this is a requirement for projects, for the first and most prominent use of your project name in any page, especially in your homepage and download page, you need to say, you can download Apache OFBiz registered symbol software here. The homepage and the download page are places that companies and trademark lawyers look at to see, are you using your name as a trademark? And that helps us later to defend it. If you have a product UI, make sure in the obvious places in your UI, you say Apache Lucene. And then it would be nice if we have a trademark symbol or not. They don't always fit. It's fine. Another important side for the legal aspect is in the footer of your website pages. Say Apache OFBiz is a trademark of the AXF. Having that notice there, even if we're not consistent everywhere else, if there ever is an issue for trademarks, we can say, no, look, in archive.org, we've been treating as a trademark. That gives us a lot of rights. Trademark law is not a compiler, so there's no one thing that magically makes your trademarks good or not. But these are all steps to help. So be aware, this is an important thing that we're not doing a good enough job with in all projects. Being aware of how other companies in particular, I'm not as concerned about bloggers or individuals writing about your project, really about vendors, how they talk about your project, and make sure that they are saying, you know, we use Apache OFBiz software to do X, and we'd love to sell you, you know, SuperCo Big Thing, right? That they're separate. We have some detailed guidelines, but when somebody is saying, hey, we offer improved OFBiz software, you know, pay $9.99 here, that's a trademark infringement, and we need to address that. So there are a couple questions. One is, do we find that out? And the brand management committee can't do that because we don't know all 180 projects. We need projects to be paying attention to that kind of thing. And you know, somebody in your project is certainly reading the tech press or looking at benchmarks or looking for new ideas, and we'll see these things. Make sure you bring them back to the project list and say, hey, I've seen this over here, is it okay? So we need to find those. Some of them aren't a problem, some are. And if you need help, Trademark can help you figure out which ones are a problem. Be respectful. Hopefully, I don't. Someday I want to not have to use this slide, but we need to treat everyone else's trademarks appropriately because we are a public charity, the work we do here. And we have no right or business harming someone else's work. So for Podlings, for example, this is why having a Podling name search is important. Because no matter how cool your name is, if somebody else was already using that name, we can't use it. It's not fair to them. And any time that somebody does, it's rare, but if someone else does complain to your project about using their brands or about a complaint about how trademarks are used, we need to respond, and we need to respond politely. We may say, no, this is appropriate, and here's why, because these are our trademarks. But we do need to respond in those cases. And certainly if we are misusing their brand, some projects have posted benchmarks comparing themselves to commercial vendor products. And that's, you need to think before you do that because we don't compete. If we want to have some technical information about, you know, here's a standard and we've done a conformance test and here's, you know, they pass these things, we pass these things, that's okay, it's factual, it helps people evaluate something. But if anything that looks like competing is not generally okay for an Apache product. And another way to help ensure that your project can maintain your brand for the long term is to register your trademarks. So I'll talk about this some more in the next talk. We have a complete guide on the slide here. If everything goes great, this isn't important. But if your project does live in a place with lots of vendors who have big marketing budgets, who, you know, tend to go a little bit screwy, if you register your trademark, it both means that fewer vendors will even think about misusing your brand, and that if they do, when we approach them, when we police the trademark use, we say, hey, you can't do that. With a registered trademark, they always, fairly shortly, will say, oh, sorry, okay, we'll fix it. If the trademark is not registered, we sometimes have to argue with them, which is, we can still make it work, but it takes a lot more effort and energy. So this is actually a fairly cheap way. Think of it as insurance for the longevity of your brand and your goodwill. So once we have registration, we're assured of being able to use it, and it's much easier to address problems. Some projects, this doesn't matter because they don't have a lot of vendors. Tomcat, who has registered, they've been around for everybody, forever. People know it's them. But some other, especially big data projects, it's moving so fast, and there's so many new companies who don't think or don't care about reputation, that having a registration shows them that we are serious about, this is our brand, this is our product, we're part of the marketplace, and they need to respect that. There are big differences between U.S. and European and other country laws. I'm not going to get into those. I'm only an expert in the U.S. laws, and I'm not actually an expert, I just pretend to be an expert, but that's something to think about for every project, and Apache will help support you with that. So one thing that not everybody is aware of yet is that the trademark policy, in terms of how people can use other people can use your brands, has specific things for domain names and events so far. We're expanding those to include services as well as merchandise. We'd like people to be able to use. If somebody wants to give away a t-shirt with your project logo, that's great. We have a great Zeppelin logo right here. We don't want people to give away a, you know, IBM Zeppelin t-shirt, but just a Zeppelin t-shirt, anybody can do that. And we're working on improving that. But there are a lot of places where I don't want to answer those questions. I want you to answer those questions. So the policies have, the font's kind of small. I should have a link here. So especially for events, if anybody wants to run anything more than like a 50-person meetup, we have an event policy for what they can use for the event name and how they need to structure it. And every project is empowered to grant permissions for that. So if somebody seems like they're respecting your name and look at the policy, are they doing the policy? The PMC chair can simply say yes, and that authorizes them to do something. If it's a huge event or something like that, then work with trademarks. We're working on making a very clear guide for merchandise. So I want projects to be able to say, especially we have committers who are like, hey, can I just print 50 shirts? Yes. But we need to have a policy as an organization. That makes perfect sense in our projects, right? It makes perfect sense when I talk to somebody who I know. We have to have a policy because there are some companies out there who it does not make sense for them to do that. Because when they hand it out, they will, you know, have an MVP program where it's like so-and-so MVPs. But the only people who ever get those shirts are their employees. So that's why we have to have a policy that will prevent that use, but that is easy enough that any proper use or any use by individual committers can be done. But PMCs need to be aware, sometimes people will ask you directly, or sometimes trademarks will say, hey, go ask the PMC, and you need to respond to these. In particular, responding to third-party questions is important because a lot of people asking this will not be developers in your project. They may be marketers or somebody planning an event, and they'll tend to be much less patient than users are, because when you're trying to book a meetup room, it takes time. So this is just an alert to when somebody does ask about, hey, can we use your brand, put that on the top of the priority, at least to acknowledge. And we do have, I don't have the link here, but we do have some guides in terms of, is this legally okay in terms of it doesn't give away our trademark, we can't do that. And what projects can say is, does this really make sense? So sometimes people ask me, a vendor will ask me, can we give away these shirts? And I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure. You might know that vendor is a great consulting organization. They always respect your brands, and that they are, you know, at their booth at an event, they're welcoming and they explain, yes, we use Apache Zeppelin to do this, and we want to sell you these consulting services. You could be comfortable saying, yes, great, I trust that you'll do the right thing. Whereas if it were, say, Oracle, who wanted to use your brand doing something, then we would need to think about it, because we can't, unless they provide a lot of details, we wouldn't know who's going to wear the shirts, how are they actually going to give them away, or are they going to sell them, which would be strange, but it happens sometimes. Questions?
Sorry for hogging the mic. So if we follow the policies or the guidelines that are on in the documentation, and we grant permission to a third party to use the brand, then from the PMC, then do we need to make sure that Trademarks knows about it, or is it something that we can manage?
Yes. So I need to find a way to write this clearly. So when a project does respond to somebody and say, yes, it's okay to do an event, yes, you should CC trademarks just so we're aware. But there are some specific things like events, and for merchandise, I want to write a clear policy that PMCs can simply grant permission. As long as they are following, there are certain steps they need to cover, and you need to be diligent at looking at them. But then, yes, that's done, that's great. Trademarks just needs to have a CC on the final answer, because sometimes we get asked, hey, I saw that event over there, did you approve that? Right? And I get that asked that from, like, really random people around the world. And if I don't see it on the trademarks list, then I won't know about it.
So if we start doing this, that maybe the first couple we might ask trademarks first, just to make sure we've got the right interpretation, and then
yes, if you want to ask them,
just to make sure that we, because the situation I don't want to get is that, you know, we say yes, it's fine, we see the trademarks, and trademarks say actually it's not fine, you know. So
yes, so that brings up a question: is when somebody asks for permission, how lenient can we be? And that's a different question than when somebody says, I've got a code patch, I want to add this feature. Because code is really easy, like They say it's good, you've reviewed it, looks good, they check it in, and half your tests fail. No problem. We just revert the change. Run the test, they pass. Okay. Figure it out, you know, redo the patch. That doesn't work with branding. So when you tell someone, yes, you can run this meetup and give away these shirts, their marketing department, if it's a company, the next day is going to go order 100 shirts. They're going to go book, you know, 20 pizzas and a room. And a week later, you're like, well, no, that's not really right. They're like, we've already booked the room. So we do need to consider that. And in a case like that, we don't need a slavish or precise policing of marks. Like, every single case doesn't have to be solved right away completely. If they, in good faith, have already booked the room, especially if you told them yes, then we say, okay, that's fine. Do your event as you planned. The next time you have any event or order merchandise, you must come back to us and we will correct it. If somebody were, you know, were truly bad-mouthing us, I would tell them, no, you can't give those shirts away. But that would be incredibly rare. If somebody's printed shirts, okay, you know, give them away when you're done. But just be aware, most of the time that's fine, but sometimes that will be where, you know, they have an event and you realize that, no, really, they're having, you know, big company Kafka, and that's the event, and that's the t-shirts, and that's the message they give, and, you know, you now have 20 users who don't come to your website, they go to big company. So well, here we are, policing the misuse of your project brand. So this is an important thing that, this is really two steps. We need to have PMCs actually be aware of misuses and think about, okay, these are bad, we need to do something with them. And then we actually need PMCs to take action to do them, which is not always happening. And we have a question here. So, what? Okay. So the first thing, which is changing a little bit, is if you do see some vendor using your brand improperly, usually we want to address it privately, which is kind of the opposite of what we usually do for communication. The real thing is that at least half, if not 75% of these cases are, whoever it is will say, oh, sorry, our bad. You know, give us a couple weeks to fix it because our web team has to. If you do that in private, then they can save face. They don't have to, and it's really easy for them to say, oh, we're sorry, we'll fix it. Assume ignorance rather than malice. So that's always a good thing, but it's doubly so for trademarks. That I can't count how many times where somebody said, oh, we didn't realize you have a policy. So, okay, next time they're fine. Anytime there's a question, feel free to CC trademarks. If somebody brings this up in public, then thoughtfully address it in public and say, okay, here's our policy. So it's really important to point back to the policy. Even if it doesn't have a direct FAQ that fits this, but that's, branding questions are not binary like code is. And pointing back to the policy will let people say, here's why we don't allow you to use our brand that way. And we do have a detailed guide of, if you see something, how to evaluate. Is what problem we need to address, or is it not that big a deal? Or is it nominative use? I mean, people are allowed to talk about our software as long as it's clear to the user that they're talking about our software, not theirs. And that we can't really address that, and we usually don't want to. But we do have very detailed guidelines for how to evaluate that, and then if we think it's an inappropriate use, how to address it. So hopefully the guidelines, once people read them, will get people started. If they're not clear, let me know, because I really want feedback to update them. Be professional and polite. So this is really important. A lot of the people asking these questions are not developers on your list. So it's doubly important here, even if it's really frustrating, to at least start out being professional, because usually it's a vice president of marketing. Occasionally it's a lawyer, and they don't communicate the same way we do. So just be aware of that. And get legal advice. So if there's ever a legal question, if anybody who says they are counsel emails your list, then either ask me or ask legal internal for help. because sometimes when lawyers see somebody with a PMC saying, oh yes, blah, 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 they assume you are correct. And if you're not completely correct, then we have to fix that later. And when to work with trademarks. The trademarks mailing list is privately archived, and I and a few other people are here to help. We have lawyers I can call if I need them, which I rarely do. But we need projects to do as much as possible themselves. So that is something that we really need to work on in the next couple of years in terms of getting this education out to projects. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to catch every issue, but at least being aware of some issues and getting some experience in your committer base of, hey, here are some questions, and oh, we've addressed them. And that's about all. So I want to say thank you to everybody who's built all the Apache software, and thanks to companies who respect our brands, and thanks to the brand management committee. So I don't do it all myself. I actually do have a number of Apache members who help out, as well as our legal counsel, DLA Piper, who provide law services. So I have a new shortened URL. I have a complete site map of all the trademark resources and branding resources. So s.apache.org/trademarks. And I would love it if people give me feedback, because I want to make sure I'm making it. I know not everyone may have seen this yet, but I want to make sure anybody who does find it, that it's easy for you to understand. So please, give us feedback. And brand and social resources, the other place to ask general questions are the community development project. So community.apache.org. And that's it for me. So we did have a question here. Did it sound like we have a question here?
I guess one thing you didn't quite address, it just occurred, so this is the wrong forum, that's fine. But when you're talking about things like a PMC printing his t-shirts up, whose money is that? And are there restrictions on, you know, who pays for that and how?
Oh, yeah, I've got, just come to me ahead of time, but I've got my checkbook, I can just take care of that. No, I'm kidding. If a PMC wants to print t-shirts, that's great, as long as you're respecting the brand. You know, basically, I want to come up with a policy that is clear enough that I can simply say, read this, if you as a PMC are happy, go do it. There is not a specific budget for that.
Yeah. But no, I meant more, are there problems? Like if it's Google's money or is there a PMC budget that people put money into that stuff comes out of and all that?
No, crap? We don't, I mean, as a nonprofit, we don't have the budget capacity to fund those things. The press committee, Sally and press, does have a small budget, and if your project has, like, you're running an event and you want to do shirts and you're really organized, she can sometimes help with stickers, for example, things like that, where the ASF will do some of it. But in terms of anybody else doing it, as long as the actual merchandise respects our brand and the way it's handed out respects our brand, then I don't care if it's Google or Oracle or you personally. And that's a great way for companies to help out, right?
Yeah.
Is if you have a new Podling or something and there's one company who really wants to increase the Podling's community, great. If the company wants to invest in shirts that the community members can give away, that's great. And that's a good way to, you know, where they can find a way where it's easy for them to give back that the PMC is happy with. And you know, we have some committers who just do it on their own, which is awesome, right? I want to figure out how, basically, if any committer wants to print up any sort of swag that uses their own project's logo, as long as they ask the PMC first, I don't even need to know about it, because that's great. You know, even if you are selling it for a small profit, right? If you're selling for a break even or something like that, that's fine, because committers are passionate about the projects. And I don't want to get in the way of that at all. So we need to do a better job of that overall. Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. And we are out for the first session.